I got a lot of emails about yesterday's Bible study.
What?
Oh. It was blew their minds. We're still talking about the effect of Pentecost and how the New Jerusalem came down and didn't go back up again, and that's our abiding reality. And we studied yesterday the great prayer in Ephesians 1, 15 to 20. No, we studied yesterday the effect of that, which was chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Now the next great prayer in Ephesians is chapter 3, starting in verse 14.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
When you said that's our abiding reality, it made me think that's the reality if we're abiding, or that's the reality if we're seeing correctly. It's like that's the digital aspect of being a believer, because if you're not seeing correctly, it's not your abiding reality. You're abiding in deception.
But it is your abiding reality. You don't know it because you haven't repented enough. It's like the New Jerusalem is always here, and we are fed in Jerusalem, and we bear his reproach outside the camp. The reproach is to show you that when you've left it, you've screwed up, and it must be repented of. But the reality doesn't change.
Right.
Your perception of it.
And
that's why if you don't look and see everything is perfect and finished and everything is Christ is all and in all, your only response is, Father, forgive me. Because I've resurrected myself again.
Yeah, that abiding reality is the entire thing we preach and talk about every day.
But there is...
And the rebellion is what makes us forget or whatever happens in you.
Well, it blinds your mind.
Yeah.
Blinds your eyes so you can't see it.
Yeah.
But it's not... She's back! Well, start in chapter 3, verse 10, verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence, or with, it's even, the word there is much stronger than confidence, it's total assurance, by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Now the whole idea that It doesn't make any... How can I explain this? He talks about this exceeding glory, this ever-present mystery, and his tribulations don't affect his perception of it. And that's what you have to see. I mean, it's never, ever, ever about what's going on. What is going on in your life, or little issues that are taking place, or big issues that are taking place. It never has anything to do with that. It has to do whether or not whatever it is that's going on will take you away from the mercy seat. And that's what I've struggled with in trying to make clear to everybody for all these years. Because it doesn't matter what happens to this hunk of flesh. That's meaningless. That's God's business. So I can never give breath to any issue that is going on. And that's why I people say, well, I've never done anything good in my life. I still haven't. I've never met anybody's need. I've never done anything. And the moment you think that something is going on with you, positive or negative, that's the tell that you return to the kingdom of darkness. And the only response is to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. You cannot. Remember how I used to harp at everybody for psychobabbling in Bible study and giving their opinions?
Yep.
Remember, anybody remember that? You've heard of that? Well, that's just swimming in the mud. That has nothing to do with life. What makes manifest is light. And when you try to solve problems and issues, and what you do, is that's the subtlety. That's the way you can exercise yourself, or you come forth. You resurrect the evil one. And it doesn't matter whether the problems have something to do with you or with somebody else. Your issue is to always remain light as a feather. You can never have a weight. And the minute you have a weight, then it's the signal that you have returned to the kingdom of darkness. Can everybody comprehend that? You can't have a problem. You can't have an issue you're dealing with.
But there's a moment of transaction when you leave that Jerusalem.
Well, a transaction is usually something that you think is good. And unless you're really sick, then you choose to think about something that is bad. Yes. I mean, the subtlety is it's some shiny thing, something that you think is desirable, or you've got an answer, or you know, you may be right within limited parameters, but it has nothing to do with eternity. And I don't care whether you give good advice or bad advice. It's still bullshit.
Yeah, so it's where that, it's almost like choosing to live in your small space and abandon eternity.
Well, that's what Josanna was talking about the other day, where you can the whole idea of making the parameters narrower and narrower and narrower, and pretty soon they're you know, so small you're living in a closet, and you think it's righteous, and all you've done is you've done everything in your power, backing to the original you, to avoid pain. And so to avoid pain, you hide and hide and hide and hide. And you can give it all kinds of spiritual crap to it. Oh, I'm just doing this, or I'm just doing that. But pretty soon you just go boom, 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 boom. You're living in this place of total darkness, and yet your mind convinces you you're light. The only thing that's why he talks about expand the tent rope, the tent pegs. So that there is no limitation. Because otherwise, if you limit the test by defining your own environment, then the test isn't real. It's just you've done something like, it's like, okay, I'm going to live in a gated community. Or okay, I'm not going to let anybody in my house. Or okay, we're going to protect everything. The moment you start protecting anything, then you are the one that's narrowing the parameters so that you can live in the illusion that you have some kind of peace.
your closet.
Yeah.
Become Howard Hughes.
Yeah, I've watched everybody does it. Okay, I'm gonna change something so that I don't experience that. What?
Well, I'm thinking the answer is not a new set of rules, a new plan. It's the only answer to repentance, because you understand what's just been said and are convicted of it.
Okay, now here's the prayer. Yeah, here's the great prayer. The second great prayer in Ephesians. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, not in the outer man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, what an incredible statement. The only way you can be filled with all the fullness of God is when there is nothing left in you that is time dependent. There's no concern, there's no care, there's no issue left within you that is time dependent, because it's those issues within you that are defining your boundaries. And that's why it's so important when Paul said that God establishes the bound of your habitation. That doesn't give you justification to keep making it smaller. That's what you do. He continually makes it bigger until it covers all of time and space, because it is eternity. I hope you can understand this.
This reminds me of when we studied the labors of Hercules, the labor of diverting the river to clean out the stables. Just wash out all of those.
Yeah, those were just vain shadows of the truth. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Now, you hear preachments on verse 20, that he's able to do exceeding above all that we ask or think, but they apply it to what they think. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I forget the last part of that sentence.
It's just everything is twisted, and it's still God in their minds, because they are controlling the bounds and they're controlling what he's able to do above. And it's, you know, his ways are not our ways. I mean, every day I know that there's nothing about the way I live that I would choose. And so you got to see this. That you got to find out once and for all time that your mind and your capacity for understanding and thinking about these little issues. It's like, you know, a gnat crawling up an elephant's leg with rape on its mind. I mean, it's just goofy.
I hope.
If you use everything else, you might as well. All right, so eternity is so big that it contains all of time and all of space. So your gift, the gift of God to you, is eternal life. That means life without regard to time. Now, how many times today will you return to considering time? That's why he said, redeeming the time, for the days are of the evil one. Anybody have any idea what I'm talking about?
talk while you're talking about this.
It's this internal mechanism that demands an agenda that is your biggest enemy in this arena.
It talks about knowing, you know, God, that, and then that passes all understanding. It's like somehow is to know Him obliterates all your
Amen.
Ability to. Do normal type understanding when it comes to that, just like burns out that
burns a fuse.
You know, old saying, and you can't do that anymore. He's there. Understand?
Yeah, that phrase a few verses back that we might know the manifold wisdom of God. Manifold, just layer upon layer upon unending layer.
Okay, now that's the next part of the understanding of what happened in Pentecost is in Philippians. So take a right a few pages. General, you kind of twisted that order there. It's General Electric Power Company.
I didn't know I was saying it in the order. I was just saying it as it came to my mind. That doesn't help me find anything.
Freedom.
1, 8, 12, 3. 26.
Bingo.
Chapter 1. Verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. Now, what he's talking about here, obviously, he's talking about, he's not justifying the preaching of heresy. He's saying that some of the people that he has taught, remember, this is a preach Christ as applied to about and about him, right? So he's not talking about, you know, the Cerinthus and all the other idiots who are out preaching, and Alexandra and Hymenaeus and the ones he turned over to Satan. And that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about the people that he has preached to. And some preach Christ hoping to add to him problems. You understand this?
Not really. What does that sentence mean?
Listen. Some indeed preach, in verse 15, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. In other words, both, whether it's contention or love, Paul, in this case, he's saying, you have to see it. He is saying that these are the ones that he has taught that are now preaching something else, because they're, it's one is to add contention to his bonds. I mean, what does it say? To add affliction to his bonds. And the other, knowing that he is set for the defense of the gospel.
Is he saying he doesn't care about their motivation?
Right. It's not important.
It doesn't matter to him.
What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me is to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I mean, and therefore, nothing else matters. No, we're not. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I wot not. For I am in a strait. In other words, he wants to go. He wants to go. He wants to go back to where Christ found him. He wants to. For I am in a strait between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you, for all for your forbearance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Now, conversation there, you remember, is your walk. Not your... I mean, it's... John sent me this. I can't remember. I can't quote it. But the last thing you sent me from about...
more than a day ago.
Well, it was saying you can't... that what you the words you say are meaningless. It's your life that...
I remember that.
Yeah. But I can't remember who... It was a great quote. We'll have to remember that quote. I consider it a great failure on your part that you don't remember the quote.
I'm tired of thinking.
I'm just drinking. All right. And in... wait a minute. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. Everything I've said the last few days comes to this. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if, and he's not saying if there is, he's saying if,
since there is,
or in view of the fact there is, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now that word look doesn't mean, well, look. It means be more concerned, not even in the same breath concerned, with the welfare of someone else over your own. So you and yours become secondary, and you and others and theirs becomes primary in your concern. Now this is the test of whether or not you love God. And I promise you something. The moment your concern transfers from you and yours to theirs, then he meets the needs. That's the mystery. That's what giving means. It doesn't mean giving him some money so you can get some more back. It means that all of your being is centered on benefiting others as opposed to yourself. All of your spiritual understanding is centered on benefiting others as opposed to you. No. And the evidence then, the evidence of that is that God will meet your every need and abundantly. You will prosper. Not by... This is the central, core, kernel, nut issue of Christianity. And the reason it is, and the reason you're empowered to do that, is because you are on the seat of all power.
So you don't do it to get 100-fold back.
You don't do it for anything.
Did he write this from prison?
I don't remember. Probably. He wrote most of the letters from prison.
It seems like that's part of it, because he's like, he can't even participate in what he's telling them. You know, he can't interact with them. He's just...
Okay. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who? And the word being is not in the text. It was supplied by the translators in verse 5. Who, in the form of God, thought it not something, and robbery means something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And in the Greek it says exactly, but he totally emptied himself. That's how he made himself of no reputation. He totally emptied himself for any concern for him. He submitted himself to only the will of God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, who he had all the fullness of the Godhead bodily was dwelling in him. We can't even conceive of what that means. But the emptiness is what created his greatness.
I was thinking that there's a lot written about, you know, this, what is it?
Kenosis.
But it applies to us. That's what this, they never really talked about. You know, it's about how Christ emptied himself to get to this place. But the servant is not greater than the master, and we have to. You know,
as he is, too. As kenosis. He is in this world, so are we.
Kenosis.
And that every time that you or yours become the subject of your internal sentence, there must be repentance. Otherwise, I promise you, you'll spend the rest of your life fighting against the Holy Spirit. And I promise you, you won't win. Because he's convicting you of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Because you have not laid down your life. There is no other. There's no negotiating. There's no gray. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who? And you can't do that until you know that everything else is screwed up and failed. Yeah. Some of you are so incredibly hard-headed that you even convince yourself that when you're doing something for yourself, you're doing it for God. When you're protecting you and yours, you're doing it for God. Who being in the who in the form of God thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal with God. Now, you got to hear this. He didn't change. He's not going to start doing these great things through you. That's what your mind hears when you hear, let this mind, we have the mind of Christ. That means now I'm going to start doing all the stuff that Jesus did. No, we're doing the greater thing, which is the building of his bride. And it can never be compromised. Not for an instant, not for a breath. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery or something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. As a nice, and you can study any freshman Greek or any lexicon or anything else you want to study. Those words mean he totally, 100% emptied himself so that he would live in only dependence on God. That's why the goofiness of praying to Jesus, there's no example when you of anybody praying to Jesus. It's like praying to Mary or to one of the 52 billion saints or however many there are, or some other idol. You've made Jesus your idol. He's just the chief of your gods. But there is nation, family, kids, career, money, everything. You can't just keep one God. If you pray to Jesus, then I promise you, you'll have 43,000 other gods that'll just pop up, boom, 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 boom.
It's almost like you're praying to Jesus to make those other gods successful.
Well, that's why. That's why Hosea said you've made him chief among your Balaam. Emptiness, emptiness, emptiness. Not trusting even your apparent need. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How I can't want. If I can't want, I can't need. Okay, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. And this is the word that means bond servant. Nailed to the door. And he was nailed to the door so that he only heard and knew the will of God. He had no will of his own. he had the will of God, but he could not separate. You know, people say they believe in the Trinity, but they really don't. Because the three manifestations, or the three in one, is a mystery that it all has to do with humility. Took on him the form of a bondservant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled, typanos, he totally emptied himself. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, I promise you, every tongue is confessing. Every knee is bowing. Every tongue is saying Jesus Christ is Lord, but they don't know they're saying it because they're doing his exact will. There is no separate will because he is concerned only with the will of the Father. Now, if you, the only separate will in the universe is the will of Satan. There are only two wills, the will of God and the will of Satan. Anytime it come, if, and Jesus, this was his biggest test. He could have, he was God. You can't imagine what he could have done. But he said, no, I must be about the will of my Father. And as he is, so are we. If you define and think some crap up, and say, this is, God showed me this. Well, I promise you, he didn't. You're lying. You may not even know you're lying because you've lied so often you can't tell the truth. You know, I'm sure that half these people, I say, well, God told me this morning as I was deep in prayer. They couldn't recognize the voice of God if it hit him with a hammer. And I'm it's not, that's not negotiable. It's because I know it. It's the word. It's what conforms to this book. It's our guide. We in emptiness are as He is in this world, because we are as He is. He is as we are. And don't forget that today. Don't return to self for any reason. Don't despise this incredible thing of you're being chosen from among all peoples to sit on the mercy seat. And the moment you're concerned for you or other, for you or yours, I mean, it even extends here. If you start being concerned for us or this place, or then it's an idol. Your whole total concern must be the will of God, and not only. And that can only be revealed in your abandonment. But the minute something about you or ours or us or yours comes into play, then you've left that mystery. Now you've got to be willing to take the risk of the loss of all in order to do this. Because everything in you is crying, you should be doing this, and you've got to take care of this, and you've got to take care of that. And you'll use the scriptures to justify it. But God's mystery says, if you do this, then your household, your need will be fulfilled abundantly. But if you don't do this, you'll spend a lifetime in gray. And this isn't negotiable. I pray that you can discern and know the fear of God, because that's what starts the process. You can't learn about this. Anybody? Something's going on over in that quadrant.
Maybe help.
No, it is Gary.
It is Gary.
He opened your mouth.
Do a bank shot. My only thing that happens is I keep interpreting much of what I hear in relation to this lawyer that has refused to pay me, and it's time to confront him, and it's almost like that is a test of everything I hear, of staying in the rest and not letting that be something that draws me away.
No, the lawyer is just revealing what's already in there.
What's there is fear.
Now direct the fear toward God. And you've got to see that nothing can happen that isn't His perfect will.
Yeah, I've already come to terms with that. I know that's
no, but then, then there would be no fear if He didn't. If that were true, if you had come to terms with it,
yeah,
come to terms with it again
on a different, deeper level,
yeah.
Remember, nothing ever has anything to do with anyone, anything, any situation. It has to do with revealing idolatry. That's all God's concerned about.
Yeah.
Because if the idolatry goes, then his son is revealed.
Yeah.
All righty. Take it, big guy.